Hello and welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm FPL Harry.
So Harry, game week 32 in the books, and it was a big week for both the top and bottom of the Premier League table, as well as us in FPL. We had Foden benched, we had Saka, the most sold player heading into this game week with 545,069 managers selling him ahead of the game week, only for him to go and pick up the 10 points for converting the Arsenal penalty. And one that affected me as well. Gusto wasn't even in the Chelsea squad for the trip to Sheffield United. So lots to discuss. Let's start with our game week scores. How was game week 32 for you?
Yeah, it was a bit of a roller coaster. And after game week 31, where we saw Saka and Erling Haaland miss out, I don't think any of us sat here and thought game week 32, just a few days later, would be Absolutely. Any more simple the way things are going over the past few weeks. It was a good week for me, actually. I got 74 points. I mean, captain on Mo Salah this week, the double Arsenal clean sheet again. And then I decided to go back onto a player who haunted me for many parts of the early season in Jordan Pickford. So to see that Everton clean sheet nice. Come in was quite nice, ahead of their double, of course, coming up. One transfer this week involved bringing in Luis Diaz. So despite your Liverpool dropping points, to have both the goal scorers in my team felt quite good this week. How about you?
Yeah, nice. Not too bad for me either. 70 points, so I'll take that. Like you, I had a surprise in goal. I wasn't expecting a Newcastle clean sheet at Fulham. So Dubravka's 9 points to start my game week was a very welcome surprise. And then like you, I had the double Arsenal defence, which, you know, maybe we'll start with those guys in just a second. But that just delivers week after week. Arsenal not conceding goals, absolutely the elite defence to go to in the Premier League, I think, this season. So Gabriel and Saliba delivering a combined 11 points. Possibly a little bit unlucky not to get a bit more from Gabriel, but maybe I'm being greedy, I don't know. Salah captain coming in with the 16, which was good. Saka in with the 10, as we mentioned before. My transfer in this week was, I took Richarlison out because obviously, we heard from Ange Postecoglou that he'd had a bit of an injury. Obviously, Spurs have got the blank game week coming up in 34. I can bring him back if I wanted to in 35. I'm going to hit my wild card in game week 35. And maybe I'll come to you in just a second on what your future plans are with any remaining chips. But if I want to go back to Richarlison or Son, who I also don't have in my team, or Porro or Udogie, you don't have any Spurs. So that last game of the game week was a real behind-the-sofa game. But I took Richarlison out for McAllister. I fancied a little bit of a differential in that Liverpool midfield. And I had a kind of straight choice between Diaz and McAllister. And McAllister had, up until the Manchester United game, returned in the previous six games. And I just thought he's the hub, he's the centre of everything Liverpool's doing. But I've just gone for the wrong Liverpool midfielder there. It is something that I might look at again in the lead up to game week 34, because Diaz is definitely scoring with a little bit of regularity. But what about yourself, Harry, and the wild card then? So I'm kind of, I wouldn't say dead ending, but I'm kind of building towards game week 34. I've got no Spurs in my team, which was a little bit, like I say, of a difficult watch last night as Spurs racked up three goals. With a view to playing the wild card in 35, then of course the Spurs players will come in, won't they, because they've got the double game week. What's your thoughts? What chips have you got left and when are you planning to play them?
Yeah, so I've got wild card and bench boost left, which I think is the most common combination of chips to have left. And I'm very similar to you. It'll be a wild card pretty soon after the doubling game week 34. Of course, the Chelsea Spurs double now being announced for game week 35. And I don't have massive cover for either of those teams. So I will wild card 35 just like you, set up for that. And then anything else that we might get between then and the end of the season. It means I've got two transfers between now and game week 34, both of which will be used to bring in, you know, hopefully exciting double game week players. We'll talk about potentially exciting players over the next few weeks on this podcast, I'm sure. So that's, yeah, my focus. I'm not got, you know, I love to future plan. I love to look ahead. And it feels like I'm not doing any of that right now. I'm just looking over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, totally. So we touched then on Arsenal. Let's start there. Why don't we start with the three title contenders? We'll go Arsenal, City and Liverpool. They just
in any particular order,
very, very good. Well, no particular. Yeah, maybe that's not a prediction for the way that the league's going to end up, Harry. Certainly not from me anyway. But you have to say that Arsenal, despite, you know, a lot of the algorithms and a lot of the pundits putting them kind of third favourites going into this game week, they're now sitting in pole position, right? Pretty at the top of the league. They just don't concede goals. Just not conceding goals. I was looking at the highlights on Match of the Day from the Brighton game. And there was a moment at the end of the game, wasn't there, where Gabriel put a block in. Even at 3-0 up, he put a block in. And they celebrated it like it was a goal. That's how much the clean sheets mean to Arsenal. And I have to say, as I'm looking to treble up, as a lot of FPL managers will be looking to treble up on Arsenal going into their double game week 34 on the horizon. And by the way, the fixture in 33 isn't too bad either, at home to Aston Villa. No. I'm pretty happy with Saka and Gabriel and Saliba. The two of them, particularly the two guys at the back, just deliver week in, week out. In actual fact, I can only really remember over the last few weeks, maybe the one, I can remember one goal, I think it was Visser, that he blocked a clearance, didn't he, from Ramsdale, I think was in goal for that game, and they conceded the one goal. So a bit of a goalkeeper mistake. Mm. But outside of that, I don't remember them conceding in the last sort of like 4 or 5 weeks. It's unreal. So big games coming up in Europe. We've got to wait to see how they get on against Bayern Munich, obviously, and we'll discuss the impact of European football a bit later on, because we don't want to be making early transfers, I don't think, this week in FPL. But Arsenal, just as a team, look so, so good at the moment. If you were to have a blank slate, Harry, going into these next couple of games, preparing for game week 34, which three would you have? Would they be the three that you've got, or would you go somewhere else?
Yeah, so I've got Ben White actually over Saliba. I just fancied a little bit over a short term, him getting forward. His link up with Saka and Odegaard looks really nice. To be honest, as much as a Chelsea fan, it's going to pain me to say this, but if I was on a clean slate, I think Kai Havertz would be one of those three now.
Yeah,
just
right.
Looking at him playing in that that forward role, but a midfield in FPL, just consistently performing and very, very involved in what Arsenal are doing. And he looks like a man on form when you watch him play as well. So I think over a long period of time, the double defence is a really nice set and forget. We're not getting loads of clean sheets this season that are consistent and easy to predict, but Arsenal are falling into that camp. But I would go with a double up on attack. So it would be Saka, Havertz, and then you kind of pick your choice over the defenders. It feels like it would be Gabriel based on the amount of chances that he does get. But I just think they're going to score 2 or 3 goals every week, which does often steal the bonus points away from the defenders. And Havertz, I just can't look away from how involved he is at the moment for them.
Yeah, he looks so good, doesn't he? He looks so good. Although goal threat, you're talking about goal threat there. Did you say you don't have Gabriel right now? You've got Ben White and Saliba instead?
No, I've got Gabriel and Ben White.
Yeah, Ben White and Gabriel. I honestly think of the defenders, Gabriel is the one to have. I noticed for XG underachievers this week, so those that were a little bit unlucky not to get points, he's sitting third in that table. And there was a huge chance, wasn't there, at the beginning of the Brighton game, about only a couple of minutes in, where he put a header wide. So he racked up a 0.7 XG in that game. So that's telling, and a lot of that's going to be that initial chance there in the first few minutes. Mm-hmm. But that's telling me that he still remains the threat from set pieces and aerially in that Arsenal attack. And from corners, they're always looking for him. So I think if you haven't got Gabriel for the double game week, I think you ought to be thinking about how you're going to get to him. Having said that, if you are in that position that I just mentioned, you've got Saliba and you've got Ben White, then you know a sideways move to Gabriel probably isn't worth it. But if you've got that third Arsenal slot available, yeah, I think the big Brazilian at the back's the one to go for.
Yeah, absolutely. They definitely look really good. The only other one to mention maybe is Martin Odegaard. Feels very consistent, doing anything this week, but did, of course, return midweek. Him versus Havertz feels like a very, very close call, and it could go either way when you decide to buy them. But for Havertz's positioning, yeah, I can't look past him.
Yeah, he looks so good, doesn't he? He looks so good. So if Havertz is going to take up a position in your midfield, Harry, which of the City midfielders are you not going to have then? We spoke a little bit before about how Haaland and KDB missed out last week. It was Foden's turn to miss out this weekend against Crystal Palace. But, you know, even with him benched, no issue. 4-2, a pretty dominant performance from Manchester City. How are you feeling about their assets going forward? It's Luton at home next for them in 33, which is the game that's sandwiched between the two huge Champions League ties against Real Madrid. So it's going to be difficult to call what Pep's going to do or who he's going to roll out for that Luton game. And then, of course, they've got the single game week against Brighton in 34. So I can see why a lot of FPL managers might want to move off of Manchester City assets over the next few weeks. But do so at your peril, because they're scoring goals for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was actually my transfer this week. Given that Haaland and De Bruyne both missed out this week, it looked pretty, you know, written in the stars that it'd be Foden that would miss out this weekend. And I sold him to Luis Diaz. Now, that means I do have Luis Diaz set up for the double, but it means I'll have to go without Phil Foden for Luton at home this week, which feels absolutely terrifying, to put it lightly, going into that fixture with the form that he's on at the moment. Of course, when game week 35 comes around, we mentioned our wild cards. He is an absolute lock. Like, he'll be coming straight back in as soon as I can buy him. I just have to go two weeks without him over the next couple. Of course, Luton, and then I think it's Brighton away while Liverpool have the double. So if I was going to Kai Havertz, you just mentioned, that would be the sacrifice I'd make over the next couple. And then I'd look to go and get Phil Foden back for the run-in. Of course, it was Kevin De Bruyne, the man that we all tried to own for the last Manchester City double, coming in with the big returns this week. Haaland getting back on the score sheet and a couple of bonus as well. They do feel like after that, a few hiccups over the past few weeks and that draw to Arsenal, where they maybe feel like they should have got something more, they're finding their groove in terms of goals. Four goals midweek, four goals this weekend as well. But it's not always, again, the story of Manchester City. It's difficult to predict who it's going to be every single week. You've still got Foden and Haaland, and presuming you're going to hold both of them for Luton home this week.
I am. Yeah, I am. I mean, obviously, I'm going to wait to see what happens in the Champions League. I mean, if Foden gets 90 minutes against Real Madrid, then yeah, I think there's a reasonable chance that he gets rested again for the Luton game. But, you know, the rest against Crystal Palace at the weekend, to me, suggests that he's kind of holding Phil ready for the two big games coming up this week against Real and Luton. So I'll be holding him. I feel like he's had his rest now. My bench sort of more than ably covered him this week. So I'm going to hold. An unbelievable performance from Manchester City, though. I think if you were to go into Manchester City now, Harry, or thinking about for the rest of the season, you know, obviously Haaland's going to continue to be very popular. Would you consider going back to Foden, having sold him, or would you look elsewhere now at the likes of De Bruyne or others? Because he got an underlying BPS this week of 69, Kevin De Bruyne, which was miles ahead of the next best, which was Ollie Watkins in at 54. So the best underlying stats that feed the bonus points throughout the whole game week from Kevin De Bruyne. An unbelievably good goal. You know, creativity all over the park. He proved to us why he is what he is in FPL and why he costs so much, so many of our FPL pounds. Would you consider going there, or is he just too expensive in a world where we're going to want Salah for the double game week? And we're continuing to want Haaland. Maybe we'll want Son come game week 35 for his double game week. Is kind of Kevin De Bruyne going to go under the radar? And from that perspective, do you think he's a good differential for the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think he's one that I will let go because I can't look at Phil Foden at like 3 million less than Kevin De Bruyne and think that owning Kevin De Bruyne over Foden, the way Foden's playing this season,
is
a good idea. And I think we've seen that Phil Foden is capable of playing more minutes than De Bruyne. So if they get through, you know, past their Champions League into the semi-final, it would just, you know, mean that Pep roulette and it being hard to predict for someone like Kevin De Bruyne. So Phil Foden is definitely one in there alongside Erling Haaland, which makes, as you say, De Bruyne such a good differential because when he does play, and you know, you have him set up against a Crystal Palace team or a Luton team they play next week, you know he's got the absolute ability to go and do something like he did this weekend with two goals and an assist. He has absolute hauls in him like this because of the type of player he is, but yeah, I think he's going to be one I'm going to have to watch from behind the sofa for the rest of the season because it'll be Haaland and then Foden. And I just don't think I'll have the ability to go for all three of them for the run-in.
Yeah, all right. And then a quick shout out to Mateta and some of the other folks from Crystal Palace because Liverpool away in game week 33 means that not a lot of FPL managers are going to rush to them, I don't think. Although, as we've seen in recent weeks, and I'll be the first to admit this, is that Liverpool don't mind giving up the odd chance. We do give away a little bit of XGC in terms of expected goals conceded. So Mateta's the sort of player that might give us a challenge or two at Anfield. But of course, the double game week coming up in 34 is West Ham at home and Newcastle at home. Two really nice looking home games. Yeah. So here we are coming off the back of Palace 2, Manchester City 4. They racked up an XG of 1.08. So they did overachieve on their XG. But Mateta, you know, he's a handful for City, wasn't he? Is he the one that you think you'd go to if you were going to go in on Crystal Palace? Or are there others? Because I think Elise is coming back from injury. Eze, as usual, was looking kind of dangerous in that game. There's some options there, isn't there, for FPL managers ahead of 34?
Yeah, so I actually bought Mateta a couple of weeks ago and benched him this week. He was sat first to my bench. Only a five-pointer. It could have been more after he started with a goal. I was thinking, this is going to be a mistake. But yeah, I like the look of their double quite a lot. Newcastle at home and West Ham at home. It feels like a double where I expect Crystal Palace to score a few goals. And Mateta looks really involved for them. He looks like he's nailed down that spot. Now, Edouard did come off and he scored a goal as well, coming back from injury a few weeks ago. So there is a little bit of doubt in my mind about the minutes for Mateta, but I'm very happy with him at 4.9, probably my third forward going into the double. Defensively, they're not looking quite as, you know, assured. Now, conceding four to Manchester City can happen to anyone. I can tell you that as a Chelsea fan from early on in the season. But looking at some of their defenders, looking at some of their defenders, Munoz at 4.5 is a very attacking wing back. So someone like him or Mitchell could fill the void. But given they have Liverpool this week, it's probably not an invest this week, but it's one that going into the double, as you say, like the likes of Eze, the likes of Elise, likes of Mateta as well. I've been quite impressed with them over the, you know, since their new manager came in, actually. So I think there's, you know, again, as we spoke about with De Bruyne, nice short-term differentials will be some of the players from this Palace team. You don't have any of them at the moment. Anyone apart from Mateta, take your eye. Have you got space for Mateta in your team?
So I do have some space for Mateta. Yes, I think so. Although I do think that there's some better options for us in that forward line. But Munoz at the back, you mentioned him. He's the one that's caught my eye. Like you say, 4.5. Pretty attacking. I noticed even against City, he was getting in some really forward positions. I checked out his heat map just before I came on here. And yeah, he's getting in the sort of right sort of areas that we'd like. Now, he's kind of going a little bit under the radar because he's not kind of banging in tons of assists or indeed goals, right? But his underlying XA isn't too bad. He did have a shot in the box against Manchester City in game week 32. So listen, you're right. I'm not going to rush to him, given that Palace are going away to Liverpool in 33. I'm not expecting Palace to keep a clean sheet up at Liverpool. But as we build for 34 with those two nice home games, Mateta is on radar, but so is Munoz. I just think that he's the sort of player, again, at 4.5, that could enable, you know, these are, you know, you obviously we want Haaland, we want Salah. You know, we talked about some of the Arsenal big hitters. We want a lot of Liverpool, a lot of Arsenal, a lot of big players for this double game week in 34. We're going to have to make sacrifices somewhere. And maybe Munoz at 4.5 is a reasonable, if not sacrifice, it's a pretty good compromise to go and get a 4.5 Crystal Palace defender in your team. And certainly against West Ham and Newcastle at home, you could see that maybe he could get, you know, he could get some joy there. So I don't mind him at all. Let's move it on, Harry. Let's talk about my team. Then I've got plenty of thoughts about the Liverpool versus Manchester United game at the weekend, the big game of the weekend. Liverpool losing a little bit of ground to the other two this weekend by dropping some points at Old Trafford. Or was it a point gained from their perspective, having been 2-1 down in the game? I've got loads of opinions and thoughts, but I'll hand it over to you first. What did you make of it?
I don't think it's a point gained. I think you'll have done well to convince anyone listening that after the first half hour, 40 minutes of that game, that should be a point gained. You had 28 shots this weekend, which is 11 more than any other team
crazy
in the league. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great performance from Liverpool in terms of creating chances, but you didn't massively take them. It was the sort of main three that came in with the returns, Luis Diaz and Salah, both with the goal, and Darwin Nunez coming in with the assist. But yeah, as you say, you definitely could have had more in the game. And then as soon as that first Manchester United goal went in, the momentum shift in that game felt absolutely crazy. The way that you had controlled the first sort of portion of that game, and then the way that Manchester United just came out of nowhere and had that real boost and the stadium got behind them, just felt like there was something coming for Manchester United in this game as soon as that started to happen. So yeah, I mean, you're completely still in the title race. Of course, it feels very, very close now going into the run-in of the season. And, you know, with their double coming up in game week 34, having at least two, if not three Liverpool assets does feel like a necessity given you play Fulham and Everton in that double. But originally I planned to look defensively in it and maybe have two attackers and a Van Dijk potentially defensively. But I'm starting to look more at your attack and think, well, I don't see maybe more than one clean sheet at a maximum in that double. So maybe I just go all out on the attack and try and fit Luis Diaz, Salah, who I've already got, and then find space for Darwin Nunez as well. How do you feel? Go on.
Yeah, I think you're probably right to have a look at the attack. You know, we spoke before about how elite Arsenal's defence is, and we're all going for, you know, White or Saliba or Gabriel or a combination of the two, because of, you know, how little XG they give up and how few chances the opposition get to put the ball in the back of the net. Liverpool do give up XGC, right? We do give up chances and we do make mistakes. You know, we saw a mistake against Sheffield United earlier in the week. We saw a mistake by Young Kwanzaa, didn't we, against Manchester United. So, you know, it's gone a little bit under the radar that Liverpool are missing quite a few key players at the back there. So I think you're right to be looking at the forwards. I noticed that Garnacho in this game had three attempts. He was the fifth most attempts in that game with three attempts. The four players above him were Szoboszlai with five, Nunez with five, Salah with six, and Diaz with six. And across the whole game week, so not just in that game, but across the whole game week 32, Salah and Diaz had the most shots from any of the players, right? So with six. So listen, it was a you know, it led a charmed life, the Manchester United goal, for long periods of that game. But Liverpool, pretty wasteful in the same way that we were against Sheffield United as well, but still managed to get two goals. And the same with Sheffield United, you know, wasteful, but still managed to get three goals. So I think you're right. Going into Crystal Palace at home and then a decent double game week, I think you probably should be looking at three forwards. Salah's a lock. I didn't think his decision-making was great at the weekend.
No.
I don't know what I put that down to. Maybe just had a bit of a bad day at the office. And I thought Nunez was the same as well, right? There was one in the second half where they seemed to play some really nice one-touch passing in and around the area, only for Nunez to play it back across the box to kind of nobody rather than taking the shot. And I'm sitting there as a Liverpool fan. Take the shot, Nunez, you know, particularly as is in my FPL team as well. I want as many points as possible. So I think Salah and Nunez, I think, are probably the ones I'd go for. The third one is an interesting one. You went for Luis Diaz. I think he's probably the one to go for. I think if you want a bit of a differential, you can do what I did this week and bring in Alexis McAllister. Up until the Manchester United game, he'd returned in six games in a row. And I just thought, at my rank where I'm at in FPL, McAllister's about 1% owned. And I just thought, you know, any assist, any goal from McAllister, and I appreciate the goal against Sheffield United, as much of a worldie as it was, a pretty low XG chance. But he's been getting assist threat. His underlying XA, he's been very, very good. He's at the heart of everything Liverpool do. Since he's been playing in the eight and Endo's been playing in the six, he's been playing further forward and getting involved with all the attacks. So, you know, a blank for him in FPL this week, but I'm pretty happy to have him in my team. He took a couple of direct free kicks against Sheffield United. And I think he took one against Manchester United as well. So direct free kicks in and around the areas we want him, playing further forward in the eight, a real super differential at 1-3% owned. So I think that third spot is probably between him and Diaz. And I think I'd probably steer clear of the defence. Would you agree? Do you think it's between those two, or is there anybody else at Liverpool that caught your eye at the weekend?
No, I agree. I think it is between those two. I do think Van Dijk is in with a shout. We do expect, I think, both Trent and Alisson to be back over the next week or so for Liverpool, which could cause a little bit of chaos for those with Conor Bradley or Kelleher in goal going into the double game week. So just a little word of caution if you're owning those. But yeah, I agree. I think Van Dijk, he could have had goals both this weekend and midweek. He's always a good threat from set pieces. So despite maybe not having massive clean sheet potential at the moment, I do think, you know, with Alisson potentially coming back with his goal threat as well, Van Dijk should be in the question. And Luis Diaz as well, just to, you know, he was top for non-pen XGI out of all players in the league this weekend with 1.3. So very impressed with him, and, you know, a transfer I made this week. And I probably would favour him over McAllister. Again, it's one of those things. It's like when we've spoken about Aston Villa in the past weeks. Do you pick a Douglas Luiz, or do you go and pick a Leon Bailey, for example? You're trying to pick, you know, the flair winger, or do you pick the sort of consistent chance creating midfielder that you've got there? There is, of course, a big price difference, so you might not necessarily have the 7.6 million that you need to go and buy Luis Diaz at the moment. But I think if you do, and those of you going into game week 34 likely to play your free hit, I think Salah, Luis Diaz and Darwin Nunez combination is going to be very, very popular.
Just a quick shout out to Robbo, actually. Having said what I just said about defenders, a little bit of doubt about his game time and maybe Klopp managing the injury. I think Joe Gomez has ably filled in there in parts this season. Actually not sure about where Tsimikas is. I think he's probably still injured or maybe out of favour. So Robbo, I think, is going to get plenty of game time between now and the end of the season. He created four chances against Manchester United. Now, a lot of those are coming from corners and from set pieces. But again, we like that from an FPL perspective, that we have a defender that takes the corners. And as you rightly say, Harry, you know, Liverpool got plenty of threat with Virgil and others aerially from those set pieces. So, you know, a quick shout out to Robbo. He's going to be quite expensive, as we know, in FPL. But again, if you're looking for differentials, we're in the final throes now, aren't we? In the final furlong, yeah, of the FPL season. So, you know, look, if you need a differential to get up your mini league, you know, I've mentioned McAllister, have a look at Robbo as well, because he, you know, he will be in around it, I think. You know, certainly with that double game week, Fulham and Everton away, there'll be something in there for Robbo. If not a clean sheet, then an assist from a corner or some attacking returns from open play. So just keep an eye on him as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those that him and Trent, I think they're top two now for defenders in assists across the Premier League of all time, or something crazy like that. So we know he can create chances for at the weekend, two big chances created as well. So one to keep an eye out, as you say, with Joe Gomez being so good for you, that you know, always casts a little bit of a shadow of a doubt, but he has looked really good. Where would we like to go next? We can cover, as much as I love to come on these podcasts and not have to talk about my team, let's do Sheffield United 2, Sheffield United 2, Chelsea 2, another 2-2 draw as we had last weekend against Burnley. It started well with an early Thiago Silva goal and then Sheffield United coming back into it. Chelsea failing to keep a clean sheet. I suppose the headlines for this is Cole Palmer only with an assist this week, which feels like a little bit of a dry spell for him given the returns he's had in recent weeks. And then no...
And bought off early as well, Harry. Was there something in that from a Palmer perspective? It's unusual for him to not play the full game, right?
Yeah, I was surprised to see him come off a little bit early. I think it might go hand in hand with what he said about Malo Gusto, that Gusto needed a rest. He had a little bit of illness this week, but he just felt that Gusto needed to rest. Like, he couldn't play more minutes that he, compared to what he's played. And Cole Palmer, if you see in most of our games, plays 90 minutes pretty much every week. It was a pretty full-on game for him on Thursday evening as well. So I think it's nothing more than that, to be honest. I wouldn't have any concern. And it feels like Malo Gusto should be back for us in the next game. Of course, him missing out in the end, conceding 2 goals, is not the end of the world. But yeah, we've got that double game week coming in game week 35. So there will be people with eyes on Chelsea assets. But given, you know, us defensively over the past few weeks, it does feel pretty difficult to invest in someone that isn't Cole Palmer at the moment, despite doubles coming up where you want to, you know, double and triple up on a team. You want to find 2 or 3 assets in there, but without, outside of Cole Palmer, it's difficult to add anyone else. Now, Gusto's attacking threat has been good. He put the cross in that was then deflected for the Gallagher goal against Manchester United midweek. He's probably next up there if he's back for the Everton game, but without the clean sheets that we're getting, it is difficult to think that he's, you know, a lock. He feels like a decent enough pick with the fixtures that we've got coming up, but he's far from a lock given the clean sheet potential we've had. So from the outside in, apart from Cole Palmer, do you see anyone from Chelsea that you'll look at for the doubles?
I don't think so. Despite Madueke scoring, you know, it was a quality goal, wasn't it? The way he sort of shifted it onto his right foot, onto his left foot. A really, really good goal. But no, I mean, I'm happy with Palmer. I've got Gusto. You've got Everton at home coming up in 33. Then, you know, there is a game in 34 in the big double, but it's Arsenal away. Now, you know, anything can happen. We've seen sensational Arsenal versus Chelsea games in the past, haven't we? And certainly from a Liverpool perspective, I'm hoping you can do us a favour there. But I'm afraid to say, Harry, I don't see it. I think the way that Arsenal are playing right now, the way that Chelsea are playing right now, I can only see that game going one way. So I don't think I'm going to be investing any more than my 2 that I've got for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. But equally, I don't think I'm going to be selling, right? Because you've got the double game week coming up in 35 as we come out of 34. So, you know, Palmer's going to sit on my bench probably for 34. I'd imagine Gusto might just go there as well. There's a chance that I swap Gusto out for, you know, maybe Munoz or one of the other defenders that we mentioned before. But I just think the Chelsea players will just take a spot on my bench. So no, I think the answer to the question is, yeah, Palmer and only Palmer for me. I don't see me going anywhere else.
Yeah, if you didn't own Gusto, it's probably not one to go and invest new in, particularly because he missed the game at the weekend. Yeah. Everton at home followed by Arsenal away doesn't necessarily fill us with confidence. Of course, you know, we can use this as a segue to talk about a team that does double in game week 34, and that is Everton. A big, big 3 points for them at the weekend, 1-0 at home to Burnley. It feels like, you know, the Sean Dyche banter of let's keep it tight at the back really came into full effect at the weekend. Clean sheet points, you know, all across the board, whether you've got Pickford in goal, whether you've got Branthwaite, whether you've got Mikalenko or someone else. It feels like going into the double defensively is probably the way to go. Now, their double is Forest at home and then Liverpool at home. So you're kind of hoping for points probably in that Nottingham Forest at home fixture, because despite it being a big game and it is at home, I don't expect loads of points from them against that Liverpool side. So are you looking at anyone from Everton, or are there other double game week players that take your fancy? Of course, I've got Jordan Pickford, and that's probably enough for me. I don't need more than one.
Yeah, and he came in clutch, didn't he, this week? A nice 8-pointer for Pickford owners, which was, if you've had him for a little while, then patience rewarded, basically. I don't know. I don't think so, Harry. I don't think so. I mean, Pickford and Branthwaite, probably the two I'd have a look at if I was going to go into Everton, but mainly as enablers to do other things. Both are cheap enough that, you know, if I want to load up on other big players in FPL, then that, you know, those two are, you know, kind of put Branthwaite in the bit like the Munoz bracket, you know, a bit of an enabler rather than somebody that I would, you know, I'm desperate to get in and I'd hang my hat on. So no, I don't think so. I mean, fair play to Pickford owners. If you've got in, that's the 8-pointer. So well done this week. But I watched the highlights of that Everton-Burnley game. And let me tell you, Burnley were in that game, right? Even down to, even when they were at 10 men and a man disadvantaged, they were in that game creating chances. And the fact that Pickford got a couple of bonus points means that, you know, he pulled off some saves and his pass completion was pretty good around the back of the defence. So he was involved in that game, a game where Everton were at home against, you know, another relegation rival that had 10 men. They should be completely dominating that. And Pickford should be almost pulling off no saves. He shouldn't be busy at all. But he was. So, no, Everton, for me, I still think they've got some way to go to get a spot in my FPL team. The one I would give a quick shout out to is Dominic Calvert-Lewin, just because he's on penalties. He did well to kind of, you know, get that goal at the weekend against Burnley, didn't he? Sort of shut down the goalkeeper in a very Nunes-esque fashion from the other week. Top five for shots this week, Calvert-Lewin in with four. So only Salah and Diaz that we mentioned before, and Luton's Carlton Morris had more than Calvert-Lewin this week. So he was getting in amongst it, as you'd expect, I guess, with Everton with a man advantage against Burnley at home. And again, it's another one of those, isn't it? If you're chasing in your mini leagues, then I don't mind having a look at Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But outside of those three, no, I wouldn't say that any are on my radar. Are you going to add to Pickford then, Harry, or are you just going to stick with him?
No, I won't be adding. I mean, it was a budget thing, to be honest. I couldn't afford any of the other keepers who doubled in game week 34. So it was either him or the Crystal Palace keeper. And of course, Crystal Palace had Manchester City and Liverpool. So it was kind of a short-term budget thing. And I think one is probably enough for me.
Yeah, all right. So let's have a look at Spurs then, Harry. We've talked a lot about teams that are going to double in game week 34. Well, we have the opposite with Spurs, right? It's a blank. Although they do have the double game week against Chelsea and Arsenal coming out into 35. So we spoke before about Chelsea assets, you know, put Palmer on your bench, put Gusto on your bench. But equally, FPL managers will be looking at game week 34 and going, well, you know, if I've got Son, he needs a spot on my bench. If I've got Porro or Udogie, they need a spot on my bench as well. So all of a sudden, could there be a bit of a clamour to sell the Spurs assets given the blank in 34? Or will you be benching them ready for their double in 35?
Yeah, so I feel like it kind of comes down to what chip strategy you're using, because I think because we're both on wildcard 35, it's very straightforward for us to probably sell them when we get to game week 34 for a player who doubles.
Yes,
but
yeah,
if you're carrying through and you don't have your wildcard or you're on free hit in game week 34, then Spurs players feel like, particularly Son, and if you've got a Pedro Porro, of course, who scored this weekend, they feel like they need to be holds. You need to not go into game week 35 having just sold Son and Porro and then try and buy them back really quickly. So yeah, for me, over the next couple, I probably will keep him for Newcastle away this week. I've got Son in my team. Don't plan on moving off him this week. But yeah, for me, going into the blank, he'll likely go for 1 week, and then I'll use my wild card to bring him back in, because the run in for Spurs is pretty nice. They also play Sheffield United away on the final game of the season as well. So going into game week 38, having Son in that fixture, when, you know, Spurs still might be fighting for something, we need to be starting to think about teams that are fighting for something going into the final few weeks of the season. And I feel like Spurs will be that, and I think Son will be key to what they do towards the end of the season. So yeah, if you're free hitting or you're wild carding in game week 35, then yeah, you can potentially look at selling Son. But if you're carrying through, then I feel like he has to stay and take up one of those bench spots.
Yeah, he's the one for me that I don't like not having in my team, if that makes sense. He's the one I get behind the sofa to watch Son every week. Now, I made a decision a few weeks ago to not go there and to stick with Foden and stick with Salah. And I just thought, right, you know, I'll not have him now until 35. And like you, I'm going to be playing the wildcard in 35. I'd be amazed if I don't have Son in wildcard 35 because of, like you say, the double game. We can then, you know, a couple of decent fixtures for Spurs in the remainder of the season. But he's the one, actually. And I knew, you know, going into that Spurs game, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that was the game I was worried about. I looked at my overall rank live in play and it was on a really nice healthy green arrow. And I just thought, if Udogie and Porro and Son could all be quiet, please, that would be great. That would leave me up there with that nice big green. And as it was, they largely were. Porro obviously coming in clutch with the 11. Brilliant for his owners. Fantastic. Udogie, not quite so good. Only a 2-pointer for him. And then Son with just the single assist. But could have had more. He is definitely the one that I fear week in, week out. Son is the one that I fear. So he'll be coming in for me in 35. But I don't, you know, I'm not going to bring them in ahead of Newcastle in 33. If I look at the fixture ticker, you know, that appears on the fixture ticker as a kind of red fixture, Spurs going away to Newcastle. I don't know if it is, you know, Newcastle is the sort of side that will come to play, obviously, at home as well. That will leave space in behind for Son, which he didn't really get against Nottingham Forest. Forest player, I wouldn't call it a low block, but they're also not a kind of, you know, massively forward-thinking team away from home. They sit in pretty well. I think defensively, their underlying stats, they show up pretty well. They're kind of in the mid-table, if not mid to top table. So I didn't expect Son to get a lot of space, or Spurs to get a lot of space in behind against Forest, and they didn't. Newcastle at St James's Park could be an altogether different proposition. Now, Newcastle, a couple of games now back-to-back where obviously kept a clean sheet this week. Bit unlucky not to keep a clean sheet against, was it Everton the week before, where they gave away the penalty and DCL just kind of smashed it in, didn't he? Almost got a pen save for Dubravka on that, didn't I? But not quite. So that's, you know, one goal and only one penalty conceded now in the last two for Newcastle. Maybe there's a bit of an upturn in the way that they're defending, or maybe there's a change tactically that Eddie Howe's employed that means that they're getting slightly better XGC in terms of expected goals against. But Spurs, I'd expect to go to St James's Park and score. Spurs always seem to find a way to score. So I will again be behind the sofa with no Spurs in my team, with a view to, you know, that playing in my favour in game week 34. But they'll be back in my team in 35, I reckon.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've held Son all this time, and I think this Newcastle fixture does play into his hands a little bit better than some of the games we've had over the past couple of weeks. Defensively, still no clean sheets for them. I mean, there's not massive clean sheets across the league at the moment, apart from Arsenal. Pedro Porro does, you know, pop up with a goal, as does Van de Ven. But it feels like that's really what we're buying Spurs defenders for now. We're not buying them for their clean sheets. We're buying them because, you know, Pedro Porro does get very far forward. He does get involved in the attacking play, as does Udogi. You're hoping for a centre-back of Van de Ven to score, you know, a worldie or from a corner if you are to buy them. So, yeah, you know, Spurs winning 3-1 in this game, Son only with an assist, and then, you know, the defenders popping up with two goals. I do plan on going back into them in game week 35, and Son will be one of them, but I don't think it's clear-cut necessarily where I invest outside of that.
I agree. All right, final word before we go on a thriller at Villa at 3-3. What a game. We've all sold. Many FPL managers would have kept, but I did, and I'm pretty sure you did as well, sold Ollie Watkins when we heard about the hamstring injury, which turned out not to be quite as bad as we maybe thought. Punishes us, as you'd expect, right, with a player of his quality and his caliber. Two goals against Brentford at the weekend. No Tony for Brentford either, benched in this game. But look, you know, Mbeumo and Vissa come in and did a pretty good job in his absence, although he did get some minutes towards the end of the game, didn't he, Tony? So from an FPL perspective, anything else catching your eye from Villa 3, Brentford 3?
No, not massively. Ollie Watkins is, again, one of those that they don't have any fixtures to reschedule between now and the end of the season. So there's not going to be a double game week for Watkins. So I think I'm just going to have to watch him score goals for the rest of the season.
Which he will.
Which he will, as he did here, as we probably expect him to do in any game. And then just not own him. I find it really difficult because I need to use my transfers on other things like buying players who double, selling players who have a blank like Spurs, trying to navigate the fixtures. That finding transfers to go and buy Ollie Watkins at the moment is really difficult. Now, this two goals does, you know, put that little bit of thought in my mind when the game week 35 wildcard does come out, whether I need to find place for him despite not having a double. But I just think it's unlikely to happen when you're 4 weeks towards the end of the season. You know, you're trying to make up those final bits of ground, that final little bit of overall rank. A player without a double is unlikely to make it. And that's probably going to be to my detriment. It's probably going to be to the detriment of everyone that looks past Ollie Watkins, because I think he's still the highest scoring forward in the game, if not the highest scoring player in the game in FPL at the moment.
It's
so
crazy, isn't
he? Will continue to do well. And I think his ownership was down at like 10-15% of active players this weekend. And just to see the amount of people sell him. And then as soon as he gets back in the team, he's back with two goals. Now, he does go away to an Arsenal team this weekend. And, you know how that script is written, that all our double Arsenal clean sheets will be wiped out by the forward that we go to sell. But this isn't the week that I'll be going to look back at him. I might have a look at him again on my wildcard in game week 35. But outside of him, it's not loads to talk about. Of course, Brentford do have Sheffield United at home this week, followed by Luton away in game week 34. So a lot of us looking at double game week players over the next couple of weeks, but there could be some real nice differentials in the likes of Brian Mbeumo, Ivan Toney if he comes back in, Reguilon picking up a couple of assists in this one as well, that could do just as well as some of those players with a double, despite not having that extra fixture, because it is Sheffield United and then Luton. Again, I'm unlikely to go there, but if you're chasing and need something a little bit different, I think Brentford could definitely offer that.
Yeah, I felt like such an FPL fraud at the weekend when Watkins popped up with those two. All the future plan, I'm paying attention to all of the, you know, press conferences. Got a hamstring, no double game week. It made sense to sell him. And then he popped up with two goals. I watched in the highlights and I was like, oh yeah, he's actually a pretty good player. You know, we're selling elite players like Ollie Watkins, you know, and deserve to get punished, frankly, deserve it. Harry, a quick word before we go then on game week 33. Some early thoughts on transfers and captains, please.
Yeah, so not too much to write home about for me this week. I was planning on using a transfer to buy Luis Diaz this week, but of course, I decided to go early on that move. So I've got one free transfer, and to be honest, I'm likely to roll that transfer this week.
Mm.
Yeah, and take two into game week 34, use those two transfers next week to move me from 9 to a full 11 of doublers. Fingers crossed, no injuries, but feels like an FPL. I can't hang my hat on that for this week. But yeah, rolling my transfer. Captaincy, I think, is quite difficult.
It is, I think.
At the moment, it's on Erling Haaland. But just again, with that losing game coming between those two quarterfinals for Manchester City against Real Madrid, am I certain that it's going to end up there? Absolutely not. Salah at home to Crystal Palace. And then, of course, Cole Palmer at home to Everton. Both the other two that I think could get it. Saka at home to Villa. The big four that we spoke about probably this week could all get the captaincy armband next week. So let's see how many minutes Haaland gets midweek against Real Madrid. I'd be very surprised if it was anything but 90. So that's something to review going into the weekend. But at the moment, it's just about on Erling Haaland. How about you?
Yeah, I looked at my team for game week 33 when I opened the app, and everyone's playing at home. I have a full 11 playing at home. The only player that's playing away is Doughty, who I've got third benched against City away. So the team looks in reasonable shape, to be honest with you. I've got a couple of City in there, you know, a couple of Liverpool, three Arsenal, a couple of Chelsea. So I think I'm in reasonable shape. But again, you know, we mentioned it before on the pod. It's a lot's going to come down to what happens this week. We've got City in action. We've got Arsenal in action in the Champions League. Liverpool have got Atalanta in the Europa League. We've got the big West Ham versus Leverkusen game. I think Villa have got Lille, if I'm not mistaken, as well in Europe. So, you know, loads and loads of European football to be played this week. So I will be absolutely sitting on my hands for the next few days, waiting to see what happens in those games, waiting to make sure that my big FPL assets that are in my team get through those games unscathed. And then, yeah, I'll be looking at minutes. I'll be looking at what Pep might do in terms of rotation for Foden and Haaland in particular coming into that Luton game, because it is going to be difficult to call, I think. So could be a bit of a boring week for me as well. Could be a roll the transfer, could do something quite late on. I've only got one free transfer because I bought McAllister in for Richarlison this week. But for sure, I'll be spending it because, as usual, as most FPL managers will, I'll have an eye on 34, making sure that I'm maximising that as well. And captaincy, it is tricky. It is tricky. I have to say, Cole Palmer, I think he's up there. I think he's really up there. I mean, Salah and Darwin Nunez at home to Palace, Liverpool with it all to play for sure. But the way that Palmer puts, you know, the let's just say, the you know, the lesser teams in the Premier League to the sword and manages to get a penalty against them most weeks, despite, you know, only the assist against you know, Sheffield United this weekend, I do fancy him at home to Everton. I think that's a good matchup for Chelsea. So I've got my eye on him as well. Weird, right? You know, if you'd have said to me at the beginning of the season you'd have Salah and Haaland in your team, yet you'd be captaining Cole Palmer, I would not have believed you. But here we are.
Here we are, exactly. As Lee said, there is a huge round of European football ahead with Manchester City, Arsenal, Liverpool, West Ham and Villa all in action. So yeah, do your best to hold your transfers late on in the week because that can, of course, change all of our plans over the next few days. Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday with a pod looking ahead to game week 33.
And if you haven't already done so, join the FPL Pod League. The code is IB3WLK.
See you all next time.
Bye, guys.